Hi, this is Dana from Columbia, Maryland, and you're listening to Outlander Cast with Mary and Blake.
All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Hey, everybody, and welcome back. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I still can't get enough of Dorcas and Bubbies. I just can't. It's like the greatest thing that we've ever come up with, maybe aside from Sassenach Wasted, which, by the way, you can buy both shirts, Sassenach Wasted and Dorcas and Bubbies, at outlandercast.com. Just go to the Mary and Blake store, and you can get one for $19.
Hey, who knew?
Dorcas and Bubbies. I told you we were going to do it. We did do it. We did make a shirt that says Dorcas and Bubbies. It's there.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing, guys. Well, before we begin, we wanted to let you know that episode 99. That's right.
99.
We're going to do something special for 100 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. MinuteWithMary.com is a place of discovering the best makeup and skincare products while uncovering your confidence as a woman. Who is this Mary who you get to spend a minute with, you wonder? It is me. The wonderful person who talks about Dorcas and Bubbies. Now, you can find out more about Minute with Mary.
Bannocks
up the bum would be so nasty and yucky. You can find out more about Minute with Mary by searching the hashtag Minute with Mary, even just in Facebook. Just type it in there. You're going to find me, guys. You got to find me.
It's there. So, my love, before we get into all the listener feedback, now that we've had 6 million times to rewatch A. Malcolm, what are your thoughts on it? Do you like it better? Do you like it less? You know, final thoughts that you have before we let the listeners take the forum.
I like it more.
Right.
I like it more and more and more and more. And I continue to be continually blown away by Sam Heughan.
In what way?
By his acting. By how he's portraying Jamie and by how the little subtleties of this once imprisoned man, this man who is feeling always guarded and just shock, just always acting in shock. I love Katrina. Katrina does an amazing job, but Jamie is the one who gets thrown for a loop in this episode. And I love that we get to see his current world. Yeah, I just love this episode. I love some Fergus even more. I just can't wait to see more Fergus.
He's so cute.
He's just so precious. How about you? What have you been thinking as you've watched it more?
I like the episode a lot more and more and more as I watch it. And the thing that I think I like most about it is the fact that we get more of Jamie. We get more of Jamie. And there's also some subtlety there and some mystery there about what Jamie is doing and what he has done. I mean, for the most part, he's pretty forthright. He clearly isn't telling Claire about somebody back home. That's a given. Okay.
I think it's his dog. Who's not a Newfoundland.
By the way, I never saw that dog.
What dog?
The Newfoundland dog that they had in the picture.
Yeah, right? I'm like, when did you have a dog?
Where did the dog come from?
Seriously.
So I'm just throwing
that
out
there. Wasn't at the graduation party because it had black fur and it would have gotten all over Claire's dress.
And she was wearing white.
Exactly.
You don't want to mess around with that.
That's why it was
upstairs.
That's
why she had so much hair, because it all went to her head. No, I mean, I think that there is more to Jamie than he's letting on. He is involved in things more than what he's letting on. And I like that. I like that. We as viewers like Jamie, but we can't 100% trust him yet.
I think we can trust him in the fact that he's human and he's like, holy flipping smokes, my wife's back?
Right.
It's been 20 years? Yeah.
But there's stuff going on there that
I don't think trust is the right word.
No,
is what I'm trying to say.
Maybe you're right.
Like, you're making him seem untrustworthy, and I feel like James Fraser is one of the most trustworthy people ever.
He's not giving us
the
full
picture.
He's not
real. I know he's not real, guys, but, yeah, I know. You know, I would trust him.
He's real to me.
He is.
No, I think he's not giving us the full picture, and we can't trust him in giving us the full picture
because
quite
he's
yet.
Guarded.
That's what I'm saying, and I like that.
Yes.
I like that. I think that is amazing. All right, my darling, you ready to give the listeners the floor?
Oh, my gosh.
The soapbox,
so
if you will.
Much, right. So much.
All right, let's see what they got to say.
All right, Rosemary wrote in at outlandercast.com and she said, my final kilt rating is a 4.9. Even on my first viewing, I was very pleased. I actually liked most of the changes from the book. And of course, I loved how much of the beautiful dialogue from Voyager was used in this episode. Like you, Mary, I was initially bothered by the apparent time jump, so I looked it up. Sunset on December 26th in Edinburgh is around 3:40. P.M.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Stop
Rose,
that.
Mary, stop it.
That needs to.
That
no.
is. You know who would love that?
Who?
Lord John Grey, because he's a vampire. Anyway, so Rosemary says it. Me.
Say it out loud.
Vampire, you know who he is. So maybe it took time to walk to the tavern. Jamie did say he was late. Maybe they grabbed some lunch and then went back to the print shop to settle some business and talk to Geordi. He did say he was going to do that. All of that could have killed a couple hours. You know what, Rosemary? If sunset in Edinburgh on December 26th is 3:40 p.m., then gosh darn it, that darkness was right. Rosemary's good with seeing adult Fergus and young Ian. They were both simply perfect. And the reunion between Claire and Fergus was heartwarming. I loved Geordi. He was hilarious. I like that Jamie told Claire about Willie. It bothered me that he didn't tell Claire early on in the book. I liked Gary Young's portrayal of Mr. Willoughby. So glad he wasn't the stereotype that he was in the book. And the bad for Rosemary was she wasn't crazy about the ending. I didn't mind a cliffhanger, she says, but I was bothered by the attempted rape. The books already have more than enough rape scenes.
Thank you.
So we don't need rape scenes that aren't even in the books. I would have also liked to see Jamie spend more time with Bree's pictures and asking Claire about her. It just seemed too abrupt and casual, but I'm giving the show the benefit of the doubt here because I want to see how Bree is handled in the future episodes. I'm wondering if this choice was intentional. At this point, Jamie is uncertain about Claire's motives and feelings. He was clearly overwhelmed with emotions looking at the baby picture. Perhaps he changed the subject quickly to Willie so he wouldn't break down. I'm hoping that they dedicate a portion of a future episode to Jamie lingering over the photos and then having more conversations about Bree. Now, Rosemary's great was pretty much everything else. She loved all the awkwardness and uncertainty between Jamie and Claire. She loved the face acting both Sam and Kat showed such range of emotions with no words. And last but not least, she loved how the episode mirrored the wedding.
I want to say one thing about the photos with Jamie and Bree and all that other stuff. I understand why some book readers might be a little frustrated.
Okay.
You know, basically from what they've said,
yeah.
You know. But Sam went on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Was it yesterday or today? I forget which day. And he went on saying his interpretation of the scene and how it was written. And he said that it was his artistic choice on how it was written in the script.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I didn't want to do the whole, you know, bubbling up and crying and this and that because, you know, Willie was my son and, you know, I knew Willie and it was great to see Bree. But I didn't interpret breakdown as like fall apart on my knees, sobbing. And it's like, I interpreted it like a breakdown internally. Mm-hmm. And you see Sam stagger and you see him like, whoa, like, wow. And it's an internal breakdown. And he said, if you didn't like it, it's on him, essentially. That's the way that he interpreted it, which I kind of like. I like that reaction. I liked it was reserved, but it was also very emotional. And it was, I have this son, too. I need to get this out. I need to get it out because it's only proper that I get it out. From Rachel, she says, just discovered this podcast.
Yay!
Hey, now. But have been an Outlander fan since the beginning. Loved the episode. I would give it a 4.2, though. My good was Claire seeing Fergus, mostly because she's been through an emotional roller coaster with choosing to leave Bree behind. And when she sees Fergus, I would like to think that in some way she finds comfort because he was like a son to her and Jamie.
Oh, yes.
My bad was how it ended. I listened to the podcast, so you guys know what I mean.
Yep.
Yes, we do know what you mean. My great was, of course, the whole reunion. I will say that I loved the awkwardness, but my ranting has a lot to do with how much awkwardness there was. I can help but compare the emotions Jamie expressed in the episode to the one where he sends Claire through the stones back to the future.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Now, I know there was a lot more going on through his head in that episode, but at least he shed some tears. I felt when he finally sees Claire's again, yes, he's shocked, surprised, dumbfounded, but I feel like I needed some more. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but Claire was amazing. She was on point for every emotion I pictured her feeling. Maybe I had my hopes too high, and that's why. But I just thought Jamie was going to have a stronger reaction. Don't get me wrong, though, I still loved watching this episode. Well, you know, but there's one thing I want to ask you about this. Claire had a long time to prepare for this reunion.
Yeah.
And Jamie's just kind of thrust into it. I feel like his reaction is relatively warranted because he's just kind of thrust into it.
No, and I agree.
It's shock. It's like shock and awe.
I am fully on the, wow, that was handled in a different way, but I'm down with it.
Mm-hmm.
Train. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
I'm just saying what's off my brain.
From Evelyn, we have, greetings from Charleston, listening to the podcast. Mary, regarding the time jump from sunny afternoon to night time, it's wintertime in Edinburgh. It gets dark early in the winter that far north, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if that was dark by the time they got back to the brothel. Just a thought, I love the podcast and going back to listening. But so we just found out that sunset does occur at 3:40 p.m. 3:40 p.m.
Seriously. What was that movie where the vampires go to Alaska because it's dark like all the time? 20 days a night or something?
Oh, 20. Yes. Yes, you're right. Yes.
That's what it's going to be like in the next episode.
Right.
Darkus is going to be like, hold on to your Bannix. Vamps are coming. Okay. So Dee wrote in and she said, question. If Jamie didn't know what the word fuck meant, then how did the bad guy at the end of the episode threaten to fuck her?
This is why I had you read this one.
Thank you. Yeah, you were pointing. I'm like, why? What? Okay. Also, why did Jamie say Claire wasn't missing any meals? A bit out of character to insult Claire. No. Okay. First off, Jamie loves Claire's bum. He loves a bum.
Mm-hmm. I felt there was more of a compliment.
Oh, my
anything.
God. There was a way of saying, girlfriend, gravity has not been mean to you. Mm-hmm. You don't have a saggy tush.
Mm-hmm.
That bum looks good. That bum that we rode on that horse and we were cold and wet and shivering and I wrapped my kilt around you and that's when I first like wanted you. That bum still looks good. But the fuck word, yeah.
I love this. See, I hear you say this probably more often than not every single day in some form or capacity.
And not meaning to you. It's probably because you make me read it in podcasts because that's not a word I use.
But just hearing it on the podcast is fantastic. It's podcast gold.
If I wasn't Ron Burgundy, I wouldn't have actually said the word. I would have said F.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
Why did you put it in there? That's why I had you do this one. Because I just kept going and I was like, Mary.
Because you're Ron Burgundy,
do you
man.
Know what you said 5 words ago? You said the F word. Someone could be watching this with their kids. Listening to it with their kids. Anyway.
This is how we're going to win the Emmy this year.
Very good question. How does this guy use the F word when Jamie doesn't even know what the F word means? I don't know. Maybe the F word was created during that 20-year time
maybe
span.
Maybe Claire created it.
maybe Jamie in jail, he was like, guys.
I know this word.
I know there's no girls here, but while we all, you know, are chilling, let's make this word hip. Connie wrote in, she said, you both did this old lady in stitches with your immaturity, LOL. Oh, you Bubbies and Dorcas with Bannix of the bunhole. Loved it all. Thanks, Connie.
I just wanted to hear you say Bannix of the bumhole again.
Yep.
For Maggie, she says, y'all rock. I felt the same way, but I truly love the comic relief. I, too, was laughing with tears running down my face from just a few moments before They were touching my heart. I wasn't disappointed at all. I will say I have to go forward to the ending. I do not recall the man being in her room. I thought it was more at the front door near the stairs. I do not recall a rape scene. I hope it is Mr. Willoughby that comes to the rescue and no rape happens. 5 solid gold stars. Maggie, thank you for the comment. However, I must chide you a little bit.
What?
We don't rape by stars here. We rape by kilts. Okay, let's get that straight.
On Facebook, Allison Burke said, just watched episode 306 again and earlier listened to the podcast. Something that Mary Lawson said concerning Jamie and how he is constantly on guard with the red coat and the voices on entering the print shop. To be that focused and aware, he has great control. But on her second watching, she saw a bodily reaction from him when he looked at the first picture of Brienne. He staggered slightly, then went to the camp stretcher and sat but sort of lowered himself, holding onto the wall. So maybe we should be looking beyond the words more often. I wouldn't have noticed this if I hadn't have heard your take on his control and awareness. So thank you. I've come back to correct that impression that I might have created above. And the incident above is no way the first time that this has been fantastic. No words acting from Sam, and let's not leave Kat out. And Allison, I totally agree. I mean, Blake, you know, it's what I talked about at the beginning of the episode. Sam is blowing me away. It's like if you watch Sam with the show on mute, just Jamie has a lot of stories to tell. Oh, he's got a lot of stress in his body. He needs some energy work, some Reiki, some yoga, a lot of sex.
That thing with the crystal that someone spins
the
over
Hermite
you.
Diamond, that one.
So useless.
Hermonite or whatever it was.
Somebody did that to me. And I was like,
she did that on you too?
She's like, oh, you got a lot of movement here. There's a lot of things. I'm like, yeah, we'll stop moving your hand. If you stop moving your hand, the thing will stop moving.
I love that you actually went to my energy worker.
I'm
so glad I convinced you to go.
I was like, I'm looking at her going, of course it's moving. Look at you freaking spinning around like a top.
She was like as psychic as Claire.
Oh my God.
Which means not. Beth Ingram Lambert said, never participated here on the Kilt-O-Rama before, but here it goes. Overall 4.7, only because with such an excruciating buildup, there was no way on God's green earth anything could live up to the reunion hype. Good, meeting all the new characters and actors and the excitement of seeing where the show version takes them. I know where the books go, but it will be interesting to see how it plays out on the screen. Beth's bad was, and believe me, I hate with a capital H to be one of those, but the books told it different, people, but so want to see Jamie completely and thoroughly go to pieces. Did the production think that the fainting and the crying in one episode was going to be too emasculating for our hero? Well, oh well, I'll get over it. And Beth's great was the awkwardness befitting two people separated for 20 years and who believe they'll never see each other again, who so want to touch, reconnect, just do it, and who show an appropriate amount of hesitation and anxiousness and hilarious clumsiness. The actors did a wonderful job portraying those emotions.
Yeah, I'm totally in on that. I'm not even going to say anything else to it. You got it. Thank you very much. Alba Velasquez Barrazzo.
Look at you with that word. Good job.
Yeah, I'm good.
Alba. Oh. I love the name Alba.
Okay, first timer here sharing her humble opinion. I got a lot of first timers. Thank you, Alba.
All sorts of dings.
I loved the episode, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have enough Bree time. When he watched the pictures, he just jumped to Willie. I feel like I would like to see the pictures of the daughter I never met again and again and ask 10,000 things about them. Also, I felt some of the dialogues were cheesy and necessary, like, give me your mouth, Sessenek. It just didn't feel organic. The clumsiness was well portrayed, although just one bump would have been okay. We get it. It's been years, and it's not the same. Fergus was awesome, and also young Ian. I think they aged them well, though. Something must be done with their hair situation.
Oh my God. The hair.
However, the actors nailed their scenes. The expression in their eyes was fantastic. They grew so much, I can't stop being amazed by the work they have done in these first 6 episodes. I found myself holding my breath during some of the scenes. I would say 4.5 kilts. I would think I agree with you, Alba, on some of the lines. Some of them were a tad cheesy. And some of them, like one in particular that kind of gives, it doesn't bother me, but I look at it, I'm kind of like, is this really what you want to say?
Is this real life?
When Sam says, when Jamie says, it's fine to see you again, Claire. Like, something to that effect. Maybe that's Jamie's personality. Maybe, I mean, I don't know.
I felt like that's when he still didn't know, you know, like, what is your intention? Okay,
yes,
so.
Yes, yes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think.
I'm just going to compliment you. I don't even know what to say.
So I agree with you, Alba. Some of them were a little bit cheesy, and some of them I could question a little bit. Linda DiCristoforo. Wow, I think I got that right.
Yeah.
Linda DiCristoforo. Well, tonight I was very underwhelmed with it all after watching three times, once at 12 midnight, then at 2 a.m., and then at 7 a.m.
Wait. Wow. Linda, wait a second.
Time out.
Are you a vampire? Is there something you need to tell us?
Say it out loud.
You watched it at midnight and then at 2. So you had a 45 minutes between, maybe got a little snack, maybe went to the bathroom, press play. Then you got a little nappy nap, okay, between 3:45 and 7 a.m. Do you work a third shift? I am just so intrigued. No, I'm serious. I need to know.
There's like a lot going on.
I need to know because all I can do some nights is stay up and watch it once at midnight. Or if I do sleep, I watch it at like 8 a.m., maybe 7 a.m., 6 a.m.
Or if the kids are awake.
If the kids are awake, I do it. Mm-hmm. How do you do this, Linda?
I must know the ways of the Force.
Out loud.
Must I say that they got the Jamie Sun story very quickly. I believe in the book she doesn't know until she meets LJG. Spoiler. Okay. Yes.
What?
The no problem. Sorry. Well, I think it's only natural that she's going to meet him.
Why wouldn't it have been natural? This is a terrible spoiler. Linda, shame. You are sleep deprived and you just let Blake Larson see a spoiler.
The problem I have is that the very reason Jamie made Claire go through those stones is because of Bree. And for the writers not to have done it the way in the book intended it to be, with Jamie shaking and crying that he couldn't even hold the pictures, was a discredit to their relationship. Instead, jump to my bastard son, Willie. Yes, the sex scenes were good, but their relationship was bigger than anything. But there were some memorable moments when he said, I've burned for you for 20 years, and she gave good claps. I have to say, Kat and Sam did a wonderful job with this piece. Well done. And that is it. That's what she's got. That's what she's got.
Erica Dauber-Berlin gave it 4.9 kilts, saying it was almost perfect. Her good was Claire saying, do it now. It was a line that was only a thought in the book, but after that long, no need to be coy, girl.
Oh, time out. I was like, come on.
What do you mean, come on?
Do it now and don't be gentle. Like,
really?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Girlfriend knew what she wanted.
That's true. All right. Go ahead.
Erica's bad was something that I've already referenced, the wigs. Erica says, I do not recommend standing close to your 4K TV during a close-up. And the line, give me your mouth, was a little out of place. You've already got it, Jamie. It's right there. Also could have swapped some of the time spent undressing with some more talk about Bree.
Thank you.
She got a short shift when Jamie moved to Willie so quickly. Her great was, I finally saw the Jamie that I see when I read the book. Voyager and beyond. Wiser, calmer, still completely in love with Claire, strong and vulnerable, and so grateful that she is back for the rest of his life. I fell in love with him again, too.
Erica, you and I, same page, girlfriend. Get rid of the derobing and give me more story time. Not even necessarily with Bree, but when they're finally getting to know each other again. Like, oh my God, we are on the same page. Wanda Merriam says, I'm giving the episode 4 kilts. I think the writers could have allowed one more episode for Jamie and Claire to become reacquainted before the perils began. I put this in here because I wanted to know your opinion, my darling. Do you agree with this? Or do you think, okay, they're back, let's get to it.
Oh my God. There's just so many things we have to do. We don't have time. Okay, get your sex in. Let's go. That's why she said, do it now.
And don't be gentle.
Because they've got a journey to go on. Okay, guys?
We've got seven more episodes left.
Voyager is a big book. Okay, let's hurry this up, Jamie.
And they gave us 75 minutes for this episode. So hurry up.
Tori Morris said, this is my first time giving a rating as I've just joined you all recently.
Hi-o!
But she's a longtime fan of the books. She's been waiting 20 plus years to see Jamie and Claire, and so she feels their pain. I am loving what Ron and et cetera are doing with the books for the most part, and her kilt rating for this episode is a strong 5.
Wow.
It is her favorite episode so far out of all of the seasons, except maybe the first one. And Jamie in glasses, so hot. Time to revamp the dad bod in honor of James. great job aging the actors, both with the makeup and the acting. Her favorite moment was the nose break scene. She loved the awkwardness of these reunited lovers and how gently, emotionally, not physically, they re-enter each other's lives. One issue, though. What happened to Jamie's broken fingers? They've just healed on their own. They were so busted up, he couldn't move them, both in the book and in the show. And now they're totally fine. Weird. Otherwise, I thought this episode was well written, well acted, well directed. All of it was great. Now on to the next adventures of Jamie and Claire.
You know, there was one scene in the episode where I thought I saw Jamie's hand with the scars on his fingers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. They still have that. But now I'm kind of like doubting myself. Did I really see that or not? I don't know. Nancy Klein says, 3 kilts. I was actually disappointed in this much anticipated episode 306. I thought the love scenes were very mechanical, very meh. Nothing like season 1 or season 2. Spent way too much time on undressing each other. Bottom line, I did not see the physical chemistry between Claire and Jamie like we did in the previous seasons. I hope they aren't getting bored with each other. I don't think episode 306 should have been written by a man. It lacked emotion and desire. Whoa, those are fighting words.
Fight with who?
With Matt Roberts.
Oh.
I think that's a bold statement. It should be written by a man. Because men are perfectly capable of love and affection and being sensitive. I'm sensitive. I'm a Pisces. I don't know if Matt Roberts is a Pisces. But men are just as capable of writing this. And if anything, the one person who could really affect the episode is the director. And guess what the director was?
Tell me.
A woman, Norma Bailey. So, yes, you can write certain scenes, but it's the director who has the final say as she's creating it. And I think Norma Bailey did a fantastic job.
Well, Claire A. McCarthy agrees because she gave this episode a 4.9. Wow. She says, I think from some of the reactions I've seen, I'm glad to just be a show watcher. I think some book readers were so anticipating this episode, and after a 2-week wait, that didn't help, that it was bound to disappoint. I hope they'll watch it again because I think it was really a superb episode. Now, Claire's good. It's been said before, but she loved the awkwardness between Jamie and Claire. Claire at least had planned to return and expected to find Jamie, but from Jamie's point of view, she just materialized out of thin air, and it took him a long time to get over that shock. Although at the core, he is still Jamie that we all love. He's had a rough 20 years and it's clearly altered. I didn't like the cold open, getting to see a bit of what Jamie's been up to and how Claire's appearance seemed to him. She did like that. It was wonderful to see them rediscover each other, to see the humor seep back in and the familiarity come back as well. 20 years apart doesn't take 5 seconds to become undone, as perhaps demonstrated by the lengthy undressing scene. And I like that they played this reunion so realistically, while still giving us what makes Jamie and Claire the soulmates they are. I thought it was beautiful how they mirrored the wedding episode. Also good at seeing, it's like we may see Ned Gowan again. The bad was, it isn't really bad, but Jamie is clearly withholding something from Claire. That kept me from being all in with this episode. All has not been yet revealed. I shudder to think that Blake is right with his latest outlandish theory. I also didn't like the ending either. I get that they needed to transition to the upcoming action and events, but this scene was just way too harsh. I hope Claire is this guy in and we aren't in for another rape scene. Well, her great was when Jamie and Claire were in bed and Jamie said something about her being a wonderful mother. Claire looked pleased, perhaps wanting that acknowledgement. I don't think she ever got that from Frank, and her eyes were brimming with tears. I'm sure she misses Bree. Kat was amazing in this episode, and as Mary says in the podcast, you could see the emotions running across her face as she took in what Jamie was telling and showing her while trying not to overreact, just absorb it all in. Also great was the print shop set. So much detail. She loved that the show takes the time to show things that were done back in the day. Her favorite scene was the wool walking scene from season 1.
Oh God, I hate that scene.
Wait, the pee
song.
And the steps and the effort it took to print. I was delighted to see the printing title cards. And one more great was seeing Claire come out of the shell she's been living in. She was always interested in people, and her interaction with Mr. Willoughby was like her old self. She was so bottled up in her own time.
And she said, now I know you're going to struggle with this one, so I'm going to say it for you.
Thank you.
She put WRT, which means with regard to.
Oh, I didn't know what that was, so I
just
stopped
regard
talking.
To Brianna's pictures. Perhaps Jamie's reaction was a bit too subtle, but it was there. First of all, he had to get used to the concept of a photograph. Then he had to sit down and take it all in. He stared at first with the picture of Bria as a baby and Claire as a radiant mother for a long time. And if you watch Sam's face, you see so many emotions mm-hmm. playing over it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure over the years he regretted at times sending Claire and their unborn child back through the stones. But seeing Bree so healthy and happy and knowing she had a good upbringing must have made him feel his actions had been correct. I nearly cried when Claire told him Bree had his red hair. And he said, like Faith.
Oh my God, I know.
He has lost so much. I thought it was natural for him to tell Claire then about Willie. He hasn't been able to tell anyone about him, and he knows that he can trust Claire. Looks like casting has once again outdone themselves with a not-so-wee Fergus, and he looks enough like Roman Baru and clearly has studied his mannerisms. I hope to see a lot more of him in the upcoming episodes. Claire, oh my goodness.
Bam. Let me tell you. Just like that. This baby picture, that baby picture viewing, all I kept thinking was how he hasn't been able to see any of his three children be born.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's you know, he seemed to be better in better spirits when it was older Bree, but like seeing Claire hold baby Bree.
Yeah.
And we've seen Jamie be very tender with babies before. Mm-hmm. And to know that his three children, he didn't get to see enter this world. He didn't get to be a real part of them, especially as bairns. You know what I mean? Like, he got to hang out with Willie when he was older, but he obviously wasn't like rocking Willie to sleep.
Right.
He didn't get to have that precious newborn time with any of his kids.
Right. And I thought it was so fitting for him to mention Faith.
Oh,
because yeah. As viewers, I mean, like, it's an important role. It's an important thing for us as viewers. But, you know, Claire moved on. She went through the stones. A lot of things happened. She had Bree. We had a chance to go through that. There was the Frank thing. But all this while, Jamie sits back thinking about the one daughter he could have had, and she died. He doesn't, he experiences other things, but it's not necessarily Faith. You know, and it's, you can tell how much it means to him for him to bring it up. Oh my God. I just, oh, I loved that.
On Twitter, Cheryl Pearl gave the episode 5 kilts. The good was the aging of Jamie was believable. Her bad was way dramatic music before Admire Men reveal. Mm-hmm. I would totally agree. And then the great was never once was the reunion cheesy or soapy.
Right. Shirley Pearl says, oh no, I just did that one. Case of
Cheryl,
the host.
Cheryl Pearl. Yeah, that was Cheryl, not Shirley. Where's your little ding? There you go.
That is when you know the host isn't listening.
Yep.
Teresa Peacock says, 4.5 kilts. The good was Jamie's point of view at the start. The bad, Hobbit bed hair Frodo Baggins.
What? Are you referring to the bangs?
Yes. And the great was the pillow talk. Lee E says, I love, love, love that Bubbies and Dorcas turns you into giggling middle schoolers. And MQ says, did Blake ring his own bell during the outlandish theory of the week?
I don't have the soundboard, so that's your answer.
No, I did not ring my own bell. What you heard was actually a text message coming from my phone into my computer, then going into the podcast.
Oh my God.
So that's what I did not ring my own bell. Not yet. If I'm going to ring the bell when I'm right and I know I'm right, this is what you hear. Bam! Just like that. A winner! And then Holly, our
Holly Richter White,
amazing staff writer for the Outlander Cast blog at outlandercast.com. Please go check it out. She is actually a professional screenwriter.
Yep.
And she says this. She says to Matt Roberts, the ending was fantastic. Jamie and Claire meet real world. It's a great juxtaposition to the La La Land reunion bubble. I like, and Holly, you're the professional. What the hell do I know? I'm just a jabroni in my basement with a microphone in front of me.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Hello.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
There you go.
And I don't mind that that she's in danger. It's just the whole rapey thing. The rape thing is, I'm just not about that life at all.
Yeah.
All right, we got some emails. My darling, what do you got for the first email?
Liz from Texas, also not your beer wench on Twitter. Liz says,
great name.
I'm a show watcher and a book skimmer. I discovered and binge watched Outlander this past summer and got the books also. She skimmed them all. So she knows quite a bit about what's coming, but not everything. And then she found our podcast. And she agrees with me about the use of the previous music by Bear, especially the use of the Through the Rye as Jaime is walking through the street in Edinburgh. This is the first time that we see Jaime this season without that haunted look in his eyes. And as she thinks that he's finally found both a home and a purpose for the first time since Claire went through the stones. After Culloden, Jaime may have been home at Lallybroch, but no longer was it home to him. He had some purpose hunting for the family while in the cave, but spent the majority of the time in isolation, feeling lost. And he had purpose with the men at Ardsmere with Willie at Hellwater, but neither of those places could even come close to a home. So Liz is going to be spoiler free here, but after returning to Scotland and England, Jamie's home was no longer his, and his purpose as the Laird would be gone because it's now young Jamie's title. However, going to Edinburgh and becoming a printer and a smuggler gave Jaime both home and purpose once again. And you could see by both he carries himself and the music's playing that he's settled into this life again. And it's the closest he's been happy since he lost Claire and Bree. Liz's second point is about the bald, rapey guy at the end. My bad for this episode, for this way. By the way, seriously, too much rapiness. And he used the F word when saying what he was going to do to Claire. Liz said she went back and watched The Reckoning again to confirm this because Jaime asked Claire what the definition of the F word is. So even though the word itself has been around since the 15th century, it doesn't seem to be used in Scotland at this time. This is a complete red flag to me that indicates that this guy could be a traveler. He's using a word that isn't commonly used as Gaelis and Claire and Jaime, even when Claire asked what a bicycle was in this episode.
Hmm. Wow.
This just screams to me that this guy could be a traveler because of the previous clues. So that is my Outlandish theory of the week. Bald, rapey dude is a traveler.
You know what? Excellent.
Mock me.
Please hang up and try again.
From Molly, she says, hi, Mary and Blake. Before giving you a few thoughts on the A. Malcolm episode, I just wanted to personally let you know how much I appreciate you, too. Aww. Well, thank you. I'm a very recent follower of Outlander. In the last 2 months, I've binge-watched the first two seasons, caught up with the current season, and started reading the books. I'm about halfway through Dragonfly and Amber right now. Wow, that is a lot of Outlander. That is amazing. So I'm so thankful that in the course of falling down the Outlander rabbit hole, I also discovered your podcast. Hey, girl. Wow, we got a lot of new listeners today. That's amazing. I'm so happy. You both are wonderful to listen to, and I love the dynamic of the non-book versus book reader, as well as having both a female and male perspective. It sounds like you both are my age, so it's really like listening to friends. Your banter, insight, and use of pop culture references have me looking forward to each podcast. And you've got a lot of pop culture references today. I'm high school LeBrain, have been recently become a stay/work-at-home mom. That's my girl. She feels that. Since I have a 14-month-old twins and don't get as much time to discuss my favorite books and fandoms with friends like I used to, podcasts are a great way for me to stay connected during the day when I'm running around. So thank you so much for taking the time to create such great content.
Blake, you have to stop having text messages sounds come through.
No, I did not just ring my own bell. That was another text message. I really have to figure this out.
Yes, you do.
Regarding the A. Malcolm episode, however, for the most part, I really, really enjoyed it. I loved the awkwardness of the reunion and could also really feel Claire's anxiety over her choice to be thrust back in time. When I watched the episode, I felt confused and jarred a bit. I think there were some minor issues with the pacing and the scene sequences, but I'm not going to dwell on that since I understand how difficult it can be to cram so much into a television episode. But I also begin to wonder if trying to give viewers those jarring feelings of apprehension was intentional. That's my girl. Thank you. I totally agree. Book readers will, of course, know what Jamie's been up to since the Dunsany plotline, but non-book readers will not. were walking into the print shop and brothel, just as unsure as Claire. And I found myself ultimately really connecting with that and appreciating it. But I have to say that the one decision that fell flat for me was Jamie's reaction to Bree and the photos. I'm not sure how it unfolds in the books yet, but it appears to me that the mention of Willie at this point in the story has angered some fans. I don't mind Jamie telling Claire about him at all here, and I'm actually glad that he did early on in the reunion, even though it's evident there is something major he's still hiding from Claire, which I think even non-book readers have a pretty good guess as to what it is. Still, Jamie was in shock and trying to process everything, and I can understand his need to want to tell Claire about Willie immediately. But the timing was misplaced, and I would rather have liked to see it a bit later in the episode, perhaps at the brothel. But overall, I just was really disappointed in how Jamie reacted to Bree. I don't need him to fall into a puddle of tears, but more emotion and more time with the idea of Bree would have been nice. I would gladly have lost a few minutes from the brothel to have that time with Jamie as you reflect on what we see Bree meant, reminding him of what was lost and why he urged Claire to leave in the first place. I also thought Bree sent a hug to Jamie through Claire. I assume we will see that at some point, though.
Oh, she gave him more than a hug.
That's gross.
Oh, not from Bree.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
That's not what I meant.
Take that back. Rewind. Take it back. You know what? There we go.
Thank you.
I thought I saw Meryl Davis tweeted out the script page that showed Jamie was supposed to have a larger scale reaction to the first photo of Bree. So I'm wondering why it was cut from editing or not filmed at all. If you have any insight into this, can you please share it on the podcast? Well, we already did share it with you. It was something that Sam did internally. So I usually try to be positive when it comes to the writing room decisions, especially when it's related to an adaptation. So I'm hoping this current reaction and the immediate introduction of Willie, which overshadowed Bree, will make some more sense as the season unfolds. Perhaps the writers will circle back to this and will show Jamie having a more tender moment reflecting on Bree without the shadow of Willie or Faith causing him to be overcome by too many thoughts. Maybe. I'm hoping so. Overall, I really enjoyed it and can't wait to hear what you two think. Thanks for humoring me with a long meal, blah, 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 blah. You know, I really do hope we do get this scene with Jamie looking at photos, like just like unprovoked, whatever. He just happens to have the photo and he's sitting down and he's looking at the photo being like, wow, dude, that is amazing. Like, how awesome is that? I think that'd be so cool.
Meredith wrote in and said the cautious joy both Jamie and Claire display is perfect. And Blake, you got your pants off moment, literally. I do think they should have aged them both a little bit more, but as long as they've let them age a little as the season go, I'll be fine. After all, Claire would be about 60 years old by season 8. I really loved the revealing of the pictures, but seriously, Jamie should have been more shocked. There were no cameras back then, so for the first photographs he's ever seen to be of his daughter, they should have staggered him. Claire really shouldn't have included the picture of Brianna in a bikini. What good father ever wants to see that? But you know what would have been worse? If Claire accidentally included a picture of Frank holding Brie. Yeah, I know. Claire isn't stupid. So even without the resemblance of Black Jack Randall, it would have been horrible for him to see the other father. I doubt Claire ever told Jamie of Frank's resemblance to his ancestor. By the way, I guarantee that Jamie is keeping more secrets from Claire than just the illegal activities. Did you notice how when Jamie talked about Willie, he didn't mention his stepfather? And considering the fact that Lord John Grey is Jamie's only real friend in Murtaugh's absence for a full 9 years, that's a very deliberate omission. I think he hasn't mentioned him because he doesn't want to have to tell her everything about him. If he tells Claire about being allowed to stay in England, or if John's marriage to Isabel, he'd have to go into John's motives. I know that John and Jamie's relationship is a wonderful thing, but no woman wants to hear that there's someone else who's in love with her husband, whether they're a man or a woman.
She's already dealt with that.
Right? Time and time again. Spending the night in a brothel is strange enough, but knowing that your husband's best friend is attracted to him in the same way that you are might be a little too much for Claire. Jamie spent years being mistrustful of John. Why do you think he propositioned John when he was about to go to leave Hellwater? Because if John had accepted his offer, Jamie would have concluded that the boy who resembled him was in danger of molestation.
Oh, that's, wow.
Yes, Jamie's mind went there because when he grew up in the 1700s, So his offer was a form of entrapment. John turned him down, so Jamie stopped worrying about his motives where William was concerned. Yes, I know I'm going off track, but I'm just saying that Claire is going to have a rather suspicious attitude towards Lord John after she meets him. You know, it's coming sometime, if not that season, this season, then in the next.
Wow. That's, you know what? Good intuition there. Good looking into the work and into the material for Jamie. But for now, my darling, I think we must take a quick break. And let's, what do we have? Wow.
There. Got dramatic.
That is not the one that I wanted.
I like this one, though.
I do like that one, too.
Oh, it ended too soon.
That's because we actually have to do the real one.
Oh. This one's so mellow.
That's the point!
So, today's episode, episode 99. Can you handle that? 99, guys. It's brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. So recently I've started a high-quality makeup and skincare business because I think that when you feel good on the outside, you start to even feel a little bit better on the inside. And I'm not saying it to be fake. I'm saying that sometimes you wanna shine or not be too shiny.
You want to look like Claire when she's in her 40s.
Right? Right?
Claire had all the minutes with Mary.
She had so many minutes with Mary, it is out of control. So recently I've begun this venture and it has been incredibly rewarding. I have gotten to know so many of our clan members and they've become close friends of mine because they've been able to work with me in this business. I just love it. I love doing funny, quirky makeup tutorials. I love doing fun skincare videos. Blake gets in on the action sometimes too. And it's been amazing. So the holidays are coming up. The seasons are changing. You might want some new makeup. You might want to talk to me about your skincare routine. You might want to try the best mascara known to man. And I'm not joking about this. Like, literally, it's the best mascara flipping ever. So how you can find out about my stuff is, honestly, the best way is to go to Facebook and search the hashtag Minute with Mary, okay? You're going to find my Facebook group. I want you to request to join. I'll let you in. You're going to see my photos. You're going to see some funny videos. And maybe I can hook you up.
You'll even see me doing Mary's makeup.
That's right.
When it was Scotland inspired.
I look like a drag queen.
All right, my darling, you ready to get to the voicemails?
Yes.
All right, let's. Why don't we get to those?
Hey, Mary and Blake, it's Suzanne from Northern Maine. Hi. Calling again. So I'm calling about A. Malcolm. God, this was a hard one. I've probably either read or listened to these scenes, at least a couple of dozen times over the years. And so to shut off my book mind and just stick with my show mind was really hard. Because the first time I watched it, I was really disappointed. And I realized, though, that I was disappointed because I couldn't shut off what I pictured from the book. And after I did that, and I watched it a couple more times, I'm giving it a solid 4 out of 5 kilts. My good is that he tells Claire about Willie. In the book, Blake, it's different, and somebody else actually tells her about Willie, and Jamie eventually does, and when he doesn't realize that she already knows. But I really liked it that he came right out and told her, and that he had never told anyone else, and that it really made me think, you know, of their bond being more than like a sexual bond, but, you know, that they were really a couple, and that he trusted her with this information that he's never even told Jenny, like you said. The really only bad was just all the build-up, you know, and in my mind, the build-up about these scenes that I couldn't let go of. Not enough tears, not enough, you know, was sort of what I was thinking. But anyway, the great was actually, I have to say, the great really was the sex. And I thought the sex scenes were great. I love that Matt Roberts kept the bashing her nose thing in. I would have missed that definitely if they had taken it out. So anyway, This is Suzanne from Northern Maine with my opinions about A. Malcolm. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Suzanne, for calling in. You know, I think she really brings up a great point here. And I think a lot of people have brought up, not a lot, some people, especially in this episode, have brought up, which is, let's take it back a notch here on Jamie's reaction. Because what he actually does about telling Claire about Willie, that is so personal. That is something he has never told anybody. Not a single fracking person. Mm-hmm. And for him to tell her just like that immediately, you know, like... Wow. I think that's a bold move from Jamie, and I'm all about that life.
Hey, Mary and Blake, it's Donna. This much-anticipated episode was not a disappointment for me. Jamie and Claire are back, big size. Thank you, Matt B. Roberts, for keeping the essence of this episode intact, for using much of the dialogue right out of the book. I love the filming of these quiet and intimate moments between these two people. It breathed. There was a slow burn that went from surprise to being awkward and uncomfortable to just talking and just getting to know each other again. I really liked the opening of this episode and seeing it from Jamie's point of view. See, book readers can adapt. And to see that he had moved on and made a life for himself. But this episode was not perfect for me, and I wanted perfection. There were three things that really bothered me. What was wrong with Jamie's back? I don't know who did the prosthetics, but it just didn't look good to me. And why did we have to have that dinner voiceover? Their eyes and action said it all. I can overlook these two things, but I can't overlook the glossing over of Brianna's pitches. It was such a pivotal moment in the book. Jamie going to pieces in Claire's arms, seeing the pitches of a child he has never seen before. But no, he hands the pitches back to Claire and rushes to tell her about Willie. It so diminishes Brianna's importance that she lived, and it was because of his sacrifice. It was in the script, so why did they leave it out? There were other pivotal moments when this subject matter could have been addressed. So for you, Brianna, I can only give this episode 4.8 kilts. Until next week. Bye.
Thank you, Donna.
Yay, Donna.
That's my girl, Donna. You know what, Mary, say it with me now. Commandment number 3. What is it?
That we can't talk about season 2?
No, that's commandment number 2.
Oh, what's commandment
number 3? The books and the TV show are separate.
Why is that not commandment number 1?
No, because the commandment number 1 is the show has to be balanced to be good.
Oh, there's too many for me to handle.
But I think Donna gets it. That they have to be separate. The same thing with Suzanne from Northern Maine. She gets it too. They got to be separate. And I think they've done a good job here.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lisa from San Diego. I just wanted to weigh in on the whole Jamie telling Claire about Willie right away situation. I was one of the ones that was really annoyed by that when I first saw it. It kind of ruined the whole episode for me when I first watched it. I don't know. It just bothered me. It just seemed so strange, and it took away from Bree's moment. But when I rewatched a couple times, and there was some really great conversation about it on the Facebook page, on the Clan Gathering Facebook page, and that kind of helped change my thinking about it. And then listening to Blake during the podcast today, I listened to you talking about it, and it does totally make sense that Jamie would be thinking about all his kids. Like, he mentioned Faith right off the bat when he started looking at pictures of Bree. And so he's always thinking of Faith. He has Willie's little miniature right up on the mantelpiece. You know, he looks at it like all the time. And so he's thinking about all his kids. And so that kind of helped change my mind about it. And now I love the episode. So I thought that was great, but I learned to enjoy that scene also. And Blake, I just want to tell you, I listened to the Steve McNutt podcast.
Yes!
Finally, and I really enjoyed it. And it was such a cool insider look at the show. I learned a lot, and you asked him some great questions. So good job, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yes!
So say we all.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy. Please go listen to our interview with Steve McNutt, episode 95, at outlandercast.com. That was awesome. Thank you. Just made my night.
Hey, Mary and Blake, it's Teddy. A few things. On first viewing, I have to say that I did not watch the episode of 1201. I was a print shop virgin Sunday afternoon when I got together with my New York gang, and we watched it together, all virgins. The episode hit all the elements that I loved about Voyager, and especially this part of the book. I just had a few pieces of tidbits, a few tidbits to share. I loved the way Madame Jean treated Jamie in a proprietary manner. She was covetous of him and did not like that he was with any woman.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And yes, it was subtle and purposefully subtle. I loved it. I will say that I know many Dorcases. Most of them are not American born. All the ones I met somehow were from the Caribbean. And I'll leave that as it is. But yes, you are juvenile, Blake, about your hysterical sit over Dorcas. I love you for it. Anyways,
looks like she got cut off, but yes, I am juvenile. And Mary is complicit in the juvenile reaction, by the way.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, just go to Mary, outlandercast.com, go to shop, and you can buy the Dorcas and Bubbies shirt for only $19.
Dorcas and Bubbies.
Dorcas and Bubbies, baby.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Michelle from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a Mets fan, not a Yankees fan.
Thank you.
So I think we're okay.
Yankees suck.
This is my first time calling in or participating in any way. I actually just discovered your podcast 4 days ago.
Whoa. Yay!
So I'm listening to it from the beginning, but I did catch your episode about 306. And I just want to like take a moment to talk about a particular acting moment. On Katrina's part, it's so beautiful. It's like right before Jamie and Claire kiss again for the first time. Right when Jamie says, you know, I have not done this in a very long time.
Oh, the tear.
Claire's eyes have been totally filled with tears basically for the entire moment that they're leaning in to kiss. And just as he says this, just before their lips touch, her tears overflow and fall down her face. And I noticed it on my second watch. I missed it the first time around. You really have to be looking at her to catch it. But it's just this really beautiful thing that happens. Because, you know, she's not, I'm actually an actor. And so I know how difficult it is to choreograph that kind of thing with tears. You know, so it's not a trick. She's not like making her eyes well up and then blinking at the exact moment she wants a tear to fall, which is a trick, by the way. But her eyes are open the whole time, so that tear is falling at that moment just because she's, like, suddenly overcome with emotion at that very moment. So that, to me, is, like, an indication of just how magnificently in tune with that scene Katrina is. You know, she's really putting herself in that circumstance and like letting herself feel that actual raw emotion. She's so good. She's just so good. And, I love her, and I could not imagine another actress playing that role. And actually, side note, when I found out that they were making a TV series of Outlander, I actually sent my headshot and resume directly to Ron Moore's office. Got a very polite rejection letter from his agent. So when she was cast, I was like, well, she better be good. And she's just magnificent.
Yes.
So that's my two cents. Love you guys. Can't wait to listen to the entirety of your podcast. I'll be doing that this weekend.
Yay.
So thanks, guys. And I'll hope to call in and participate a little bit more. Yay.
Michelle, you are an automatic all-star. Automatic voicemail all-star for Outlandercast.
Yes.
I'm making it right there. That's the end.
Hi, Mary and Blake.
My name is Darlene, and I'm from California. I am a first-time commenter. Is that what I'm doing?
Yes.
But I've been listening to your guys' podcasts forever. I listen to all of your podcasts. My sister is Denise from Bellingham.
Hey, all right.
Who you read her email out loud. Of course you read it out loud. And I was in my car screaming because it was like, she didn't tell me she was going to do that. And I'm the one that told her about you guys. And so to hear that, Denise from Bellingham, I was freaking out. Okay, Blake, you can call me Darlene.
Thanks, Darlene.
Because that's all my relatives are from the East Coast. Yay. I was born in Boston.
Hey, girl.
And the reason why I sound like I'm from California is because I only lived there for 5 years.
Boo.
However, all my relatives sound like you. So you are, we talk about you all the time and slip into a Boston accent on a regular basis.
Awesome.
You know, my parents said, Darlene, this is a car, say car. Ah. You know, so I learned how to talk like that. Anyway, good, bad, and great. This is the only way I know how to do this. Thank you for this direction. My good was the sets and the lighting. I loved that they repurposed it, but not enough that we didn't have that feeling that we knew we had been there before. And I kind of feel like since we're back in Scotland, it was really nice to feel like not that we really were home. Like not only were we in Scotland again and back in time, but we're in a familiar place. It kind of felt a little bit like home. And the lighting throughout this was awesome. It was intimate. It was that candlelight, which looks good on everybody. Everybody looked great in the lighting. And it kept the mood. The mood was an intimate mood throughout the whole thing. And I loved that the lighting really played up on that.
By the way.
Yeah.
You want to know what was responsible for the lighting?
Yeah.
Steve McNutt.
That's right.
Which you can listen to the Steve McNutt interview, episode 95 of LearnerCast.com.
My bad was very small complaint. Not even a big one either. Claire's breathing during relations. Is it just me or did her breathing sound really loud? It distracted me for some reason. And I mean, I'm all for that, you know, make noises, whatever. But for some reason, as a viewer, and it made me uncomfortable, but maybe it was supposed to make me uncomfortable. That just shows what great acting it was. I really literally felt like I was looking in on two people.
We got cut off here. So, Darlene, call back again.
Because, you want to know something?
What's that?
So, I have a confession. You guys ready for my confession?
Yes. What do you got?
Last night, my kids were being crazy and they weren't sleeping. And so I stayed up. And then there were a couple moments where they would sleep. So then I went and I just turned on HBO. And I was like, what's on HBO? Oh, 50 Shades Darker. Okay, I'll start to watch that.
Oh, my God.
They don't make noises when they have sex. It's a terrible movie. Don't watch it. Like, seriously, really terrible. Like, worse than the first 50 Shades, which is worse than Twilight, which it was like kind of a knockoff from. I don't know if it's because they're...
Oh, no, it's not kind of... It's a direct rip.
Yeah, yeah, but... No, the girl like doesn't make any noises. And I was like, this is not Claire.
All set. All set.
So I was fine with the noises, with the panting.
All right. It looks like we're gonna go to the next one. Darlene, call back. And please, you are amazing. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Mary and Blake. I'm Michelle from Maryland. I'm a new listener and first time caller.
Wow.
I'm a show watcher and I haven't read the books yet, but I do plan to. I'm going to give A. Malcolm a 3.8 kilt. I was very excited for this episode, having not had Claire and Jean together for so long in season 3. But I actually walked away from the episode kind of disappointed. I got up and said, literally, okay, that was it, and just turned off my TV. I was distracted by what looked like a wig on Sam's head and how much older they looked, but really he kind of looked kind of grayish in the face. I felt that episode 5, where Jeannie fainted when he saw Claire, was more emotion-filled in just those couple of minutes than I felt in the entire episode of A. Malcolm.
Wow.
I feel that at times the writer does a disservice by not having Jeannie and Claire do what they do best, which is really just kind of talk and express their feelings. And Sam and Kate are beyond incredible in their portrayals of Jeannie and Claire. And I just kind of feel, just give them their lines and they will make it jump off the page and the emotions will just flow. I felt the part where Jeannie got to see Brianna with the pictures was just wonderful. But I think the writers did not give Jeannie enough time to really grieve not being in Brianna's life and allow Sam the opportunity to really bring that to light. I also think that would have been nice for Jeannie when explaining that he had a son. Let that scene just kind of play out a little bit longer and then kind of see how Claire reacts to it. You know, having to jump to having to go to a pub seems kind of rushed, especially when having Claire just show up after 20 years. My low-kilt writing also comes from the voiceover. I feel right there would have been a perfect time, you know, through good editing, to just be able to hear Claire and Jeannie talk about their lives and have us as a viewer go in and out of their conversation as they're talking, not just the voiceover telling us. You know, Claire saying a bit about Frank, Jeannie kind of saying a little bit how he was lonely, Claire talking about becoming a doctor, meeting Joe Abernathy, having a friend again, and so on. Again, I think it was just a missed opportunity for Sam and Kat to shine because with their body language and how they portray the characters, we would have really been able to see how each of them were receiving what they were seeing. The sex scene, I'm not a prude, but I thought it was a bit much. I loved the awkwardness and I loved the shyness that both Sam and Kat portrayed. But I actually think I would have preferred to hear a bit more talking about their lives. The last episode does harken back to the wedding episode. That episode was fantastic. And this episode did try to recapture the essence of the wedding episode. But I just kind of felt something was missing.
It looks like we got cut off again. So one thing, guys, when you do leave us messages, please try to keep it at, you know, I'd say 100 seconds, 90 seconds at best, because after 3 minutes, it does get cut off. So please do try to keep it around that time frame, 90 to 100 seconds, if you could, or 120 seconds. Michelle, you and I, you, me, and Claire McCarthy, we're like soul sisters. We understand where we're coming from for this thing. So I think we're all on the same page here, which I'm really excited about. That was the last voice mail, my darling. And That's what we got. That's
the end. Do we have a Kendra thought of the week?
We do have a Kendra thought of the week. We'll bring it up right up right now.
Hey, Mary and Blake. Well, it seems as if we've been waiting forever for this episode, and for me, it did not disappoint. There are so many great things about this episode, but I'm going to focus on a little point of contention which has been creating an immense amount of chatter on social media, namely the Bree Willy revelation scene. Most of the backlash stems from the scene straying from the text. Willy's not mentioned at this point, and in fact, in the end, Jamie's not the one who tells Claire about him. Full disclosure, I always hated that. Why wouldn't Jamie tell Claire? Could it be to simply ratchet up the drama due to lack of communication? This is a classic and tired romance novel trope. The hero builds up some silly, deep, dark secret in his mind that he just mustn't tell the love of his life. It's usually something ridiculous that any reasonable human being would be understanding of immediately. This is especially apropos here. It's been 20 years. He thought he'd never see Claire again. Life goes on. Not to mention the fact that a living, breathing child, one he's watched grow and fallen in love with, would be almost, if not equally, significant as his relationship with Claire. Also, it's a son. There's a special kind of bond there. He can see himself in the face of his child. All this is to say that I think it was completely appropriate for Jamie to share about Willie when he did. Claire is sharing personal details of a child she knows and loves well. Jamie relates to her as a fellow parent, his own experience loving a child of his own. You can see this even before Willie is mentioned. Claire says that Bree's first word was dog, and then no, to which Jamie responds, "They learned that one fast." That is such a wonderfully simple line, delivered with the casual familiarity of an experienced father. The delivery of that line alone would have sold me on Jamie's advanced years and more deeply established maturity. We need to remember that Jamie has lost three children at this point, not just Bree. Let's also remember that when Claire went back through the stones, she was at most 2 months pregnant. She wasn't showing. She wasn't feeling movement. Brianna was at most an abstract idea. Jamie had almost no connection to Bree. Of his three children, she is the least fully formed glimmer in his eye. With faith, Jamie watched Claire grow. He felt the baby kick. He and Claire shared their hopes and dreams for their unborn child together. Over the course of a pregnancy, you form a picture in your mind of the person your child will someday become. You imagine all the firsts and obsess over all the fears and all the risks. With Willie, he could see him and hold him and actually watch him grow. Willie is the most fully formed child in Jamie's life. To have Jamie completely falling apart in the book has less to do with Bree and more to do with being overwhelmed by Claire's appearance. But it's not realistic. It's not honest. Jamie is stoic, but he's also in shock. He spent 20 years putting up walls for his own survival. Those aren't all going to collapse in one moment. So let's talk about acting and choices. The big brouhaha over on Twitter. Here's the thing. Any actor worth his salt can cry on cue. That's easy. It's cheap. It's melodrama. Most importantly, it's not how someone like Jamie responds. Acting is about making choices. Sam chose the more difficult choice. He chose to show the strength of Jamie warring with his emotions, a man desperately trying to keep the walls up while they crumble around him. Most importantly, he's uncertain of Claire's intentions, and after a lifetime of both mental and physical anguish, he just doesn't want to be hurt again. In short, the book reunion is romantic and wonderful to read, but it's not realistic. It's not honest, given the context of Jamie's life and the cumulative losses. Hats off to Sam Heughan, Katrina Balf, and Matt B. Roberts for delivering us the reunion we needed. The only thing stopping this episode from crushing a solid 5-kilt rating is the implied sexual peril cliffhanger ending. Stop using rape as your go-to punch, guys. Stop, even if it's just implied. We've got to pace ourselves enough as it is with rapes she's actually written, without tossing the threats on as a drama garnish. So, that puts it at a 4.8 for me. I'm interested to see how things unfold since this is the emotional high point for me for the entire series of books. Talk to you next week. Sayonara from Japan.
All right. Well, thank you, Kendra. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kendra.
You always know how to even me out and how to bring it for this episode. So thank you very, very, very much. My darling, it is now time for the tweet of the week. Are you ready?
Always.
So this week's Tweet of the Week goes to Steph Cheng. She says, I laughed like a crazy person on the way into work today listening to you on the podcast. Thank you so much, guys. It really made my day. Hashtag and a bannock up the butt.
I may or may not have sleep deprivation. I'm so sorry for mixing lots of words from Outlander.
Oh my God.
It made so many people laugh.
It was great. That was awesome.
Bubbies.
Dorcas and Bubbies. That's it, my darling. That's the end of the listener feedback. Ready to close it out?
Yeah.
All right, let's close this bad boy out.
As you heard in the beginning of the episode, this is episode 99. Next episode is episode 100. So here's what we would love for you to do.
Okay, what do you got?
First off, we are two patrons away from being 200 patrons, 200 people who are fiscally supporting OutlanderCast for as little as $2 a month.
Right.
So what this money does is it help us, you know, pay for the website and pay for the equipment and pay for the sitters and take care to make sure the Outlander cast keeps on coming. So for episode 100, I would really love to be able to say that we have 200 patrons supporting Outlander cast. That would just bring me so much joy. The other thing that I would like is for you to tell a friend. Find your Outlander friends. Share Outlander cast on your personal Facebook wall. Trust me, there's people out there that are your friends who you don't even know like Outlander. So do us a favor and say, podcast that I love and that I listen to and that brings me joy. They're having their 100th episode. Check them out and share it. This is the best way that people learn about podcasts is by word of mouth. So your Facebook wall is one of the best places to share it and to tell people. Being a patron would be a great way to support us. And
here's another reason for you to become a patron too.
Yeah.
Because our next goal is decided by you guys.
Yes.
You get to decide what podcast we do, Mary and I do, after this season of Outlander. And I'll be putting it up on Facebook, and you get a chance to help decide with the Outlander cast clan gathering what we will be doing. So if you help support the cause, we will meet our next goal, and you get to decide our next podcast. So I'm really excited about this.
We want to give a big thanks to Peg, Anne, Bobby, Amy, Christina, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Liz, Dana, Nikki, Tara, Jennifer, Lauren, Heather, and Marilyn for being patrons at a certain level. We want to make sure that we mention you in each episode, but we want to mention a big thanks to all of our patrons, all of our members in the clan gathering, all of the staff far and wide on OutlanderCast. Be sure to check out OutlanderCast.com throughout the week for the minute-by-minute recap, the amazing blog posts that come out, and also we're going to be having a giveaway every single week. And what is the giveaway? This week,
we are having a giveaway from Decoded Designs Etsy shop.
Remember we talked about them a couple weeks ago, guys?
And I am still madly in love with this product. Essentially, it's a bracelet with beads that say Sassenach or Jamie or Claire, but this one we're giving away says Sassenach in Morse code.
But in beautiful beads. So it's like a secret nerd thing that you will know that people who ask you what a pretty bracelet and you'd be like, yeah, it actually says Sassenach
really cool.
In Morse code and it's super pretty. So you can actually enter to win that now. By the time you're listening to this episode, you can find it at outlandercast.com in the latest podcast, this episode, in a new blog post that is coming out, or also on our Facebook page. So once again, we're going to be doing giveaways every single week. And this one is one that you definitely want to enter to win.
And if you don't win the giveaway, it's okay. Please go to Decoded Designs on Etsy. Tell Shannon, the owner, she's amazing, that we at Outlander Cast sent you. Because I truly 100% believe in this product. She is freaking awesome, and I love her bracelets. I can nerd out about them all day. She has like Harry Potter ones. She's got like all this really cool stuff. And I'm just like, I'm so like happy that she is a partner of ours. So please go check out Decoded Designs on Etsy or MinuteWithMary.com.
Well, for now, my name's Mary Larson.
And my name's Dorcas.
You've been listening to Outlander Cast.